Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the peace and the grace of the risen Christ be with each one of you. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let's greet one another. Turn, shake hands with your neighbor. Good to see each one of you. We invite you to share your names with us on the friendship pad as it passes your way. Join with us in the fellowship time out in the patio following the service. I want to share some of the announcements with you. You note that Bob and Connie Sanchez are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. They were in the first service this morning, but if you see them, congratulate them. This coming Saturday, April the 13th, there will be a memorial service for Jackie Sherm at Pacific View Memorial Park. It's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a note here on the back of the connections on the insert. Be praying for Jack. They have been good and faithful members of this congregation for many years. And so the service will be at Pacific View. During the this hour this morning, there's an adult ed going on. Donnell Peck is leading a class on preventing abuse in Africa, where she has been involved. She and her husband Bill come quite frequently to our Wednesday morning Bible study. They're very active leaders at the Trinity Presbyterian Church in Santa Ana. So we're welcoming them. You can sign up this morning, you ladies, for the gift of being yourself, the sacred call to self-discovery. Books are available, and there are small groups that you can sign up for. Next Sunday morning here, now we have a special pulpit guest, Father Elias Chakor. He is the Archbishop in the Melkite Catholic Church in Haifa, Israel, and all of Galilee and Nazareth and that area. He's a Palestinian Christian and is a major voice for reconciliation and peace, not only in Israel with the Palestinians, but around the world. We are delighted that we have him here with us next week. And following the service, there'll be a light brunch and some Q&A over in the fellowship hall. So note that as well. There's more instructions on our church website. And then follow along with all of the announcements here of our church calendar. Many things going on post-Easter. Our young people are coming back today from Molokai, so pray for them. I know they'll come back exhausted, but having had a wonderful week together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, risen, resurrected Savior, Lord of the world, Creator of all that there is, Redeemer of all of humanity, we turn to you this morning. Be present with us in the power of your word and spirit. Move us from this place this morning to be participants in your mission to the ends of the earth. Thank you for these faithful disciples who come to worship you this day. Fill us with your joy. In your name we pray. Amen.
Join me in the responsive call to worship. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sins before God and before one another. Let us pray. O Prince of Peace, from peace that is no peace, from the grip of all that is evil, from a violent righteousness, deliver us. From paralysis of will, from lies and misnaming, from terror of truth, deliver us. From hardness of heart, from trading in slaughter, from the worship of death. Deliver us. By the scandal of your gospel, by your choosing our flesh, by your nakedness and pain, heal us. By your weeping over the city, by your refusal of the sword, by your facing of horror, heal us. By your bursting from the tomb, by your coming in love, by your gift of the Spirit, heal us and grant us peace. And so we bring you the silent confessions of our hearts. For we pray through Christ our risen Lord. Amen. My friends, Christ is our peace. Those who are divided, he has made one. He has broken down the barriers of separation by his death and has built us up into one body with God. To all who repent and believe, he has promised reconciliation. So live as people reconciled. Amen.
Now remember this text from last Sunday. It's John 20.
See what a morning, gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem.
We turn again to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. In the New Testament, John's telling of the story of Easter that begins in chapter 20, verse 1, with the empty tomb. the resurrected Jesus in dialogue with Mary Magdalene, and now on Easter Sunday evening with his disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. Verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, great high holy day in the life of the church. And I have to confess, I was a little amused by some of my pastor friends from around the country who posted pictures of their congregations on Easter Sunday morning on Facebook. One of them even giving the count of the number of people who were present. We could have posted our own pictures with three worship services on Easter Sunday morning filled, the people of God scrubbed up, suited up, showing up to worship the Lord, filled with joy and celebration. That is Easter. And those of us in the church, we need to savor what Easter Sunday is about. We dare not just remember what happened last week and forget it for the rest of the week and the rest of the year, because we're at ground zero in the celebration of Easter and Holy Week, aren't we? Celebrating the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the triumph of God over the powers of sin and death. We're intended to do that every Sunday morning, for we are a resurrection people, and we worship and serve a living Lord. Thanks be to God. But we know that Easter Sunday evening is coming, and the first Monday after Easter is coming, and the first Sunday after Easter is coming. And none of our churches look exactly the same as they looked on Easter Sunday. Thank God you're here. One always wonders about post-Easter. Some of us as pastors, we Monday morning would like simply to hide out, lock ourselves in our bedrooms, crawl into bed, and pull the sheet up over our heads. I think I went to bed about 8 o'clock Sunday evening and didn't get up till 8 o'clock on Monday morning. It's a day of a lot of deployment of energy and use of adrenaline pumping through our system and exhausting of our adrenaline supply. And life can look very different after those times in which all of our resources have been mobilized. And some of us think of the first Sunday after Easter as low Sunday. And so we become aware that we have great need. You read the stories of the great saints of the Bible. Some of those stories in the Old Testament, I always think of Elijah, who had done battle with Queen Jezebel and all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and had defeated them with fire from heaven, proving that Yahweh, the Lord, was the Lord of Israel and not the fertility gods and goddesses. And all 400 prophets of Baal were slaughtered, and it was a great victory celebrated, and rain returned to Israel. And then, almost in the very next breath, Elijah hears that Queen Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, is filled with rage because of what he's done. And he runs from that wicked woman as fast as he can, down to Mount Sinai, in the Sinai desert. And he arrives at Mount Sinai, exhausted, depleted, struggling with his own faith and feeling that he and he was alone, were left in Israel. And while he slept and recovered, finally, there was a still, small voice that began to whisper in his ear. And it says something like this: Elijah, what are you doing here? And maybe that's the question that the Lord has to ask a lot of us. We read the Psalms, and the Psalms are filled with wonderful prayers of thanksgiving, of praise to God for the high holy days in which the mighty acts of God in history are celebrated. And then we continue to read the Psalms and discover that there's far more Psalms of what some have called Psalms of disorientation, when the bottom has fallen out, when anxiety and fear have captured the focus and the life of the writer of that poetry. And Israel sang those Psalms in the temple in Jerusalem. And they celebrated not only the Psalms of orientation and disorientation, but of reorientation, because somehow God has a way of bringing renewal and restoring joy into the lives of those who have depleted their energies and trying to hold on to their faith. Seems like the greatest struggles come in our life right after the greatest victories. It's almost a pattern. Jesus was baptized in the river by John the Baptist. He heard the voice from heaven: "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Gospels say the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. There's something about post-Easter that exposes us to vulnerabilities, to anxieties and fears, and we need more resources. We need renewal. We need our tanks filled up, literally. I think about the family of Rick and Kay Warren, pastor at Saddleback Church, on this Sunday after Easter. No telling how many thousands of people they had in church last Sunday, Easter Sunday. They moved through that week in great celebration, only by end of week to have their 27-year-old son take his own life. A young man who had struggled with mental illness and times of deep depression from the time he was a little boy, who was in such pain that he found it difficult to go on. Now the Warren family, very public leader, is exposed to all the commentaries of the world. One CNN commentator said yesterday, asking, "Why does God allow such things to happen?" And maybe even some in his own congregation will ask, "He's out busy trying to shape up the world. He can't even control his own kids." So we need to be praying for Kay and Rick Warren, great leaders. There's very often a lot more going on beneath the surface. We can be all dressed up and scrubbed up and suited up for Easter and be carrying a heavy burden in our hearts of anxiety and fear, not knowing what the future holds. We bring all of our concerns for our those intimate relationships of our lives, for husbands, for wives, for children who struggle, for aging parents, for lingering illness, for businesses that are having difficult times, for the church even. I can get in touch with all of my anxieties about that. One of the great preachers of the 19th century was Charles Spurgeon, Reformed Baptist. He literally preached to thousands of people in London and around the world. His sermons were printed up, and they contain great volumes or are contained in them, and many still read the sermons and the writings of Charles Spurgeon. A lot of people do not know that by the time he was in his early 30s, his wife was afflicted with some sort of malady that put her in bed for the rest of her life, and she never heard him preach again. And he himself struggled with deep depressions and periodically would have to take extended vacations and cruises and let the winds of the seas blow against him in order to be restored. And yet we read his work because his works, his preaching, reflects the dynamic of the human condition that we all carry with us. We know what it is to be immobilized, to be paralyzed by our fears as we lock ourselves behind closed doors and perhaps wish the world would just go away. Eugene Peterson was pastor of a church in Baltimore, Maryland. And every Monday morning, he was pastor in that church for 30 years. And every Monday morning, he and his wife, Jan, would go into the Maryland woods and take a walk together. And they had an agreement that they would not speak to one another before noon the next day, because they needed to be healed. Nature had a way of embracing them. And the rest of the day brought restoration to them. Some of you who were here last Sunday morning heard me speak of the bees. Sunday afternoon, we're in our house, whole family gathered together. First thing we knew, those bees were swarming all over our backyard like a tornado. Went outside, watched that great cloud of bees move. And the first thing we knew, they had disappeared. They were gone. And we saw it. And it was a healing experience. And the Apostle Paul, with all the revelations that he had received, with the authority and power with which he taught and wrote, shared with the church in Corinth, that he'd been given a thorn in the flesh that brought him low, that incapacitated him, that made it difficult for him to function. He doesn't say exactly what it was, but he said, I prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove it, and each time I prayed, it never went away. And then I heard the Lord say to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For when you're weak, then you're strong. I've learned then to glory in my weaknesses and my vulnerabilities. And all those things that I'd just as soon hide, I've learned that those are the very things that connect me with my need for God and resurrection life. I don't know what you bring with you to church this post-Easter. But I know in a crowd like this, in churches around the country, that people are people, and we each carry our issues, and we need help. That's why we're here. And you know what? It's a good place to be, because it was as those disciples were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. It was there on Easter Sunday evening that the resurrected Lord came and stood in their midst, stood amongst them as the present one. And as he came into their midst, he extended his arms and his head. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side, as if to validate that it was real what had happened on Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning. There's not a preacher who's ever preached on Easter Sunday who hasn't awakened on Monday morning to hope that the message that he proclaimed was true. And those disciples, when they saw Christ, they met Jesus of Nazareth, not some ghost, not a resurrection of their own faith, as important as that was, but the presence of the living Lord of life, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? We need the presence of the Lord as we struggle with the great issues of our lives. And so we invite him in. And sometimes he just comes, whether or not we're ready for him to come or not. He's just present. And we see him, and we listen to him, and we fellowship with him, and we find ourselves restored. He came and stood in their midst, and I believe he's here this morning. And he's standing here, and he's showing us his hands and his side. He's saying, "It's true, it's real. Build your life upon it. It's the truth." And then he spoke to those frightened disciples two times, "Peace be with you." And this was the blessing that God's people have always longed to receive from the God of peace. "Peace be with you." And he imparted the blessing of the God of peace into their souls. It was while the Apostle Paul was in prison in Philippi, in a miserable situation in his life. It couldn't have gotten much worse that he wrote the letter to Philippi to those Christians who were struggling under persecution. And he said to them, "Rejoice in the Lord. Again I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety or worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard and hold your mind and heart." And he could speak with authority about that because he had won the peace at the cross, where in the blood of the cross, he reconciled us to God and to one another and made peace. And was inviting his disciples to live into the gift of his peace. Peace be with you. You need peace this morning in your mind, in your heart. Our world needs it, to be sure, but we need it. The church needs it. It's only the peace of God in our lives that gives the church any hope in our time. And then he spoke again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And what he was saying was, the very mission that the Father sent me to do is now complete in my life, death, and resurrection, but the mission goes on. I came to shine the light of heaven into the darkness of this world. I came to a world in the bondage of sin and death in order to deliver it, to rescue it. And I send you out to do that. I send you out to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of liberation and freedom. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Holy Week and Easter are not ends in themselves, but it's staging ground. It's the very center of human history. And out of that moment, we live and move and have our very being, and we're sent into the world to live and to proclaim the good news that Christ is alive. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And then He did what God did on the first day of creation. He breathed upon His disciples. I've always thought, what an interesting observation. He breathed upon them. In the same way that the Lord God took the dust of the ground, formed it into the first man, and then breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living being. To be alive, fully alive as a human then, is to be breathed upon by the living God, to know that you're animated and that the vitality of your life is a gift of God's Spirit. In the same way that dead Israel in the valley of dry bones after the Babylonian captivity, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And Elijah or Ezekiel, how would he know? And God told him, prophesy to the bones. And he did so, and the bones came together and the flesh and the body of Israel was reconstituted, but yet not fully alive. And Ezekiel was commanded to prophesy again, and as he did so, he spoke to the winds, and the wind, the Spirit, the breath of God came and breathed into Israel, and Israel was resurrected on the stage of history and restored to the promised land. And that's the breath that the church needs on this post-Easter Sunday. We need to be breathed upon by the Spirit of the living God, not just as a church, but each one of us, so that we know that the source of our life and mission is deeply rooted in the reality of God. And so whatever anxiety and fear may be in your heart this morning, I pray you'll hear the door knocking. Or better yet, your eyes will be open to see that Christ is present. Not just 2,000 years ago in an upper room, but in this very place, in this time. He wants to give us His peace and share and commission us for His mission in the world. And He wants to breathe upon us so that we might know the power and the authority of heaven in proclaiming and living the good news in whatever we do in life, that we become a lighthouse of the gospel of the good news of heaven. Thanks be to God for Easter Sunday morning, but also for Easter Sunday evening and Monday morning, and the Easter after, the Sunday after Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. On this first Sunday after Easter, Lord, we are so grateful for each disciple here, ready to listen, ready to be open, ready to bring whoever we are and whatever is going on in our spirits, whatever fears and anxieties we bring with us this morning that paralyze and immobilize us, whatever concerns we have for our loved ones, for our children, for aging parents, for a husband, for a wife, for a neighbor, a friend. We bring all of this to you. We're so grateful that you've entrusted the mission to us of proclaiming good news to the poor, release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of jubilee, of freedom. We ask that you would gift us with the capacity to live with such spiritual freedom that we would not be afraid or immobilized, but we would know, even when we think the sentence of death is upon us, that you are the God of resurrection life, and you're able to call us forth and empower us to be your faithful people. So we give ourselves to you, for we have discovered that you are the way and the truth and the life. We surrender to you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together and affirm our faith. Words in our bulletin. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. You may be seated as we receive our morning offering. Thank you.
Holy God, from whom comes every good gift, as Jesus breathed your Holy Spirit on his first disciples, so send your Spirit afresh to animate our lives so that we may love what you love and do what you do. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Breathe your healing touch, your splendid courage, your mighty strength, your perfect peace into all who struggle today, those who are ill, those who are anxious and fearful and doubtful, those who grieve, especially the family of Rick and Kay Warren and their congregation, those for whom it feels that the bottom has dropped out of life, those who serve you in places of great risk. Hear the names of those for whom we pray as we speak them aloud before you.
Jennifer.
Grateful for your gifts, we offer you now these gifts. Use them and use us until the day when your kingdom comes in its fullness. Even as we pray for the coming of that day, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power, crown thine ancient church. His story, bring her but to glorious love. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Lo, the hosts of evil around us, sworn thy Christ assail.
God of grace and God of glory, be present with us wherever we go this day. Help us to hear the good news of your peace that is able to hold our minds and our hearts and to stabilize us in the midst of our fears and worries. Capture us for your mission of being a light of love and peace to all those with whom we share life. Breathe upon us, O Holy Spirit, and dwell within us so powerfully that we might have the mind of Christ to think, to feel, and to act as those who represent the living, resurrected Lord in a world that still struggles and searches for meaning and hope. Go forth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.